Revelation chapter 4, just verse 2 to start with here. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Hallelujah. God, we know that you are the one who is on the throne. Jesus, you're the one who was raised back to life on the third day. You went back to heaven, and you are on your throne. And Lord, I pray this morning that you would reveal to us more about you and about your majesty and about your greatness. Lord, I pray that you would speak through these words, speak through this servant. Lord, whatever you have to say, reach us and touch us right where we're at. Lord, bless your word as it goes out this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk about the throne of God this morning, and I'm not going to do a whole lot of technical stuff like, you know, what size it is and what it looks like and all of that. It's the throne of God really represents the majesty of God, the greatness of God. And there's a number of places. I've been reading personally. My personal study stuff has been like in Ezekiel and Daniel these days. And there's a lot about kings and about thrones and authorities and majesty. And yet, it gets me to thinking about who is the King of Kings, who is the Lord of all lords. You know, it's Jesus. And I want to talk about His Majesty, King Jesus, today. One thing that it was my prayer last night and this morning too, God. You know, we can hear words, and I know this happens. It even happens to me a lot of times. I'll be hearing somebody talking, and I'll just go, yeah, that's nice. I'm just hearing words. It's just going into my brain. But sometimes something gets said that goes to the heart, and it makes a change. It does something. And that's my prayer this morning, even that if some of these scriptures that I read, some of these things that I say, if they will touch the heart today, and God will have His way. Amen. But it is all about Jesus revealing Himself to us. It's about us. I know a number of my scriptures are from the book of Revelation this morning. And Revelation, that's an interesting word. But it's revealing. God wants to reveal Himself to people. You know, again, it's not just the facts and figures of Christianity or of theology. It is the revelation of Jesus to the heart, where people come to the place where they know that God has spoken to them, where God has said something to them, God has touched them. And I recognize a lot of times when I'm bringing a message that sometimes, you know, one thing is said that touches one person, one thing that's said is touching another person, and sometimes I'm kind of amazed too. I will hear sometimes people will comment about something that was said, and I just go, I don't know. That wasn't even my main point. But God was speaking. God was revealing. And let Him do that this morning for you. Open up yourself just to say, God, talk to me. God, show me your ways. Help me to understand you better, know you more. Amen. So, in the book of Revelation, in chapter 1 there, Jesus reveals Himself to the Apostle John. The Apostle John was on the island of Patmos. He was there as a prisoner for the gospel. And John, as we know, or as most people have said, he's one of the apostles that actually lived to a fairly old age. They're thinking that he was probably close to 90, which was a lot of years for people in those days when he was on the island of Patmos. But God revealed Himself to John once again. Now, John knew Jesus when he walked the earth, but here on the island of Patmos, Jesus reveals Himself to John in a way that John hasn't necessarily seen before. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, you know, John turns around to see the voice that's speaking to him, and this voice says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. You know, John now is hearing Jesus reveal himself and reveal about himself to John. And in Revelation, I'm going to go to verse 12 here of chapter 1. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound, or as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, and saying to me, "Do not be afraid, for I am the first and the last. I am the one who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death." John is receiving a revelation of Jesus that maybe he hasn't seen before. And I think this would be, quite often when I read the book of Revelation and I read these kinds of descriptions of Jesus, and I think sometimes, for myself and maybe others, sometimes we just take Jesus a little bit too lightly. You know, kind of like he's my good buddy in the sky. And I know that Jesus is a friend. He's our helper. He's our strength. He's our Savior. He's our shepherd. But he is God Almighty. He's seated on a glorious throne. And if you were to see him today, first of all, you'd be blinded by what you're seeing, because it's nothing but bright light from him. You know, this description of the way he looks and what he's dressed in and all of that, this is a picture of majesty. You know, royalty, the ultimate royalty, the king of the universe. And I think sometimes when we approach God, it's good to approach him in ways where, you know, we want to be a friend and we want to talk with him. But there are other times when we approach God, we should be approaching with great reverence. You know, even in bowing down before him and honoring him. Because there's coming a day when that's going to happen. Even John, in the book of Revelation here, we know about the apostle John. He knew Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He understood who Jesus was. But when he saw Jesus in this picture here in the book of Revelation, he fell down as dead at his feet. He bowed down. I often think that, you know, when we see Jesus, our reaction may not really be, you know, I know we say things like, yeah, well, when I see Jesus, I'm going to ask him about this and I'm going to ask him about that. You know, when you finally see Jesus face to face, I think you're going to fall down on your face before him and worship and tremble in the presence of the Almighty God. Amen. It'll be a terrifying time for those who have not known Jesus here in this life. And even for those of us who do, it will be a sober moment. I don't know how else to say it. It will be so real, like nothing you've experienced ever before, standing before, bowing before, and on your face before the majesty of the universe, the King of Kings. Amen. And so Jesus is revealing himself. The first part of my message here is just Jesus revealing himself to the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. But in the book of Revelation, Jesus wants to reveal himself to the churches that were in existence at that time, the various churches in the different areas. And I'm not going to read all of the letters to the churches. In chapter 2, You have the letters that were written, and John wrote those down, and those letters were sent out to those churches to be read at those churches. But listen to how Jesus reveals himself to those individual churches. He says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. He reveals himself as the one who holds the seven stars, as the one who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. And Jesus is a revealer of who he is. And he's saying to the church in Ephesus, hey, don't take lightly who I am. I am the Lord of the churches. And this is, without getting into a lot of explanation in what's being said there, that is really what's being portrayed here. Jesus is Lord of the churches. He is over the churches. Revelation 2:8. And to the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. Amen. We know that as the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. To the church in to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things says he who has a sharp two-edged sword. Amen. The one who has the sharp two-edged. We know the Bible tells us that the sword is really the Word of God. And Jesus, when he speaks, he's speaking more than just information and more than just words. What he speaks has power to change and make things different or make things happen. We know that when God spoke, even in the beginning of the creation, he spoke and said, let there be, and there was. When God speaks, things happen. When God speaks, things go on. The dead come to life. And even those who are alive fall down as dead at his feet. Amen. To the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. Again, to this particular church, Thyatira, the Son of God reveals himself with eyes like a flame of fire. Amen. He is the awesome and great God who sees all. Revelation 3:1, and to the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things says the one who has the seven spirits and the seven stars, I know your works, that you have the name of being alive, but you are dead. Again, here, there's a revelation coming from Jesus to that particular church saying, you know, you guys are telling me you're alive and you're an awesome church and you're doing all sorts of stuff, but Jesus here is revealing to them, you're really spiritually dead. See, Jesus knows a whole lot more than we think he knows sometimes. Amen. To the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things says, he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. Again, to the church in Philadelphia, he's revealing himself as the one who can do anything. There's no such thing as a closed door to God, and there's no such thing as an open door unless he's allowing it to be opened. Amen. To the angel of the church of Laodicea, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. The Amen, and the first witness, that's Jesus. Amen. Revealing himself to his churches. And again, there's a lot in those letters that goes into detail about what Jesus is seeing and what he's revealing to those churches. And saying, you know, I know your works. I know what you're doing. I either see your struggle or I see your idolatries. I see everything. Amen. And so Jesus reveals himself to the churches. I'm going to go back to Revelation chapter 4. I just opened up with a verse from 4 this morning. But after these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. And again, God is speaking to the Apostle John here. In verse 2, he says, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. All around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and all around the throne there were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. It's one thing that I like about the book of Revelation. If you'll allow yourself to really picture what's going on there, there's some pretty amazing things that someday we're going to see those things, by the way. You know, when your time is done here on earth, you're going to see those things. You're going to see that sea of glass. You're going to see the crystal river that flows from the throne. You're going to see the various trees that are growing by that river that bear fruit 12 times a year, different kinds of fruit. But these creatures that are before the throne and the elders that are before the throne, and everything is focused on the throne and the one who's sitting on the throne. Amen. I know we can read these things and just go, oh yeah, well that'd be really cool, a sea of glass like crystal and all that stuff. It's talking about the majesty of God. I know there are other places in the book of Revelation that talk about the streets that are paved with gold. You know, and when Jesus told his disciples, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'm going, and I wouldn't have told you so if it wasn't going to happen. And Jesus has gone to prepare a place for them and for us. When we think about and read about some of the things of the throne and about the things of heaven and the glorious things that are going on there and the glorious King that rules over it all, we're going there. Those of us who know Jesus, we're going there. And it will probably be one of those moments where we'll fall down before him, even as Revelation describes in another place. You know, those crowns that he would give us as rewards for our faithfulness, we will cast those crowns before his throne and say, Lord, to you be all the glory and all the praise. You did it all. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm going to conclude in a little bit of an unusual way, but I'm actually going to read Revelation chapter 22. That is the last chapter in the Bible. Okay, and it's a great way to say, you know, for God to say, hey, this is how I'm finishing this thing out. This is how I'm doing it. I'm not talking about the message this morning, but anyways, but God is operating and working in human events and circumstances and situations all around the world today. You can see it if you've got your eyes open. You might be saying, well, the devil's got a lot of power. There's a lot of bad stuff happening. Listen, God is moving. God is stirring. God is working. Amen. And he's bringing it all to a conclusion. And so some of that conclusion is described here in Revelation chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. I'm just going to stop there for a second. Sometimes I've read that and I'm just going, well, that's kind of interesting. I wonder what that means. But if you look around our world today, mankind, human beings, have really trashed the earth. And I'm not just talking about environmentally. In every way, we've corrupted all that God has blessed us with. You know, when we think of the blood of the martyrs and the blood of even those who have died as innocents, there's a corrupting effect that's happened on the earth. And I know in one part of the scriptures it says, you know, all creation groans, all creation is looking and longing for things to be made right. Amen. But the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And so God is not just going to take care of us. He's going to heal the nations. He's going to fix things that are broken. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Amen. Amen. His servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. And they have no need, they have need for no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. The Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. And this is Jesus speaking. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. John, the apostle John, saw and heard all of these things in this vision of his that he had, in this revelation. And what is his reaction? It wasn't like, hey, Jesus, I'm here, let's hang out. It says he fell down and worshipped. Let's see. When he said, I lost my place here. Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, okay, John is actually bowing down before the angel there that's revealing this to him. Now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am a fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of of this book. He says, worship God. Amen. The angel is saying, you know, John, I understand you're caught up in all that's going on here in the incredible scene that you're seeing, but worship God. And he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. Hallelujah. Amen. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Yeah. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. Those should be sobering words too. When I read them, I just go, it's not just, yeah, I'm saved by grace. I know that I have a place in heaven because Jesus paid my way to get there. Jesus paid the punishment that I should have taken. But there's something about rewards. There's something about in that day when Jesus is revealed in all of his fullness, all of his glory to us, we will look and see him as he is. Amen. Okay, but he says to give to everyone according to his work. Sometimes, I don't know, sometimes I run into Christians who just go, well, it doesn't matter about what you do, it's about what you believe. Well, I think it's both. You know, it's what you believe about Jesus and about salvation and about Him purchasing your redemption with His own blood. But I tell you what, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you're following and serving Him, there ought to be some works that are going along with your life. There should be some kinds of things that are happening in your life that are affecting the world around you or the people around you for good. Amen? Sometimes I wonder, and I run into a lot of people who say, yeah, I'm a Christian, and they live like the people in the world. You can't really tell them apart from the people who are living out in the world and living for themselves. And Christians, quote-unquote Christians, and I can't judge, I don't know whether they really truly are Christians or not, but shouldn't a Christian look a little different? Shouldn't they act a little different than the people in the world? Shouldn't there be something about their life that is different? You know, when we serve and honor God with our lives, and there's a reward that comes, and that's what he's talking about here. Give to everyone according to his work. Verse 13, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are the dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. And our response, along with John, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up this morning. I'd like to just finish up in a prayer. This picture, and I know that it's still incomplete because the messenger is not able to really convey what heaven looks like and what the throne of God looks like. The Word of God does a pretty good job of it. And yet, when we see it in that day, it'll be so much more than we imagined. It'll be so much greater. It'll be so much more terrifying, scary, awesome. You know, I don't know that we have human words to really describe what that scene in heaven is like, that throne of God and the place where He is. But I'll tell you what, it's a place that is set aside for us. It's for the glory of God, but it's for those of us who have believed and trusted Jesus with our lives and said, yes, Lord, I want to serve You. Yes, Lord, I want to give You my life. I want to follow You. You know, Revelation, even in this last chapter, makes it pretty clear that there are some people who will not be allowed there. You know, heaven forbid that anyone who is hearing this today would say, well, I can live whichever way I want and I'll still go to heaven. It doesn't work that way. That's not the truth of the Scriptures. And it is sometimes with tears that I look at people who are just rejecting God and rejecting His ways and saying they have no idea that they're heading toward a cliff that they're going to fall off of and they're going to end up in the flames of hell. If today you hear his voice, harden not your heart, the scripture says. If today you're hearing Jesus saying, come and follow me, give your life to me, then do it. Say yes to him. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are a glorious and an awesome King. And Lord, your majesty and rule is unequaled anywhere, anytime, any place. And God, we hope to see you soon. Lord, we're longing for that day when you will break through the skies and you'll bring the full redemption to this planet, to this earth, to these people, to us, Lord. But until that day, Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to follow you. Help us to honor you with our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would just show us what it means to follow you, to serve you, to honor you. Help us, Lord, to set aside our little things and pursue the big things and the great things of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, just bless us this morning with your revelation, with your revealing. In Jesus' name, amen.